Once again, take your Bibles and open them to John chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 28 and 29. And then if you would take your hand and turn also to 1 Corinthians. So let's look at John first, John chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 28 and 29, and then we will be very shortly over into 1 Corinthians as we continue the study concerning the wood, hay, and stubble. And so please that you, chapter 3 is where we're going to be in 1 Corinthians. John chapter 5, we'll begin reading with the 28th verse. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Let's begin now with prayer. Father, we thank you that we have an opportunity to come into this place, into a building that you have given us a place to meet. We've come, and we know the church is not, we call it the church, but it's not until we come that it actually becomes the church. All born-again believers, blood-bought believers, make up the church. And we come together as a family to fellowship over your word, to fellowship with each other, to feel your power and your strength, receive from you the direction for tomorrow, if you give us tomorrow. You sustain us with your strength. Please, dear Lord, show us your will and way through this word, your word. Help us today, Lord, to touch those, you touch those with your spirit that are not saved, that they will surrender to you today, and they'll come by faith to you today, and then they'll begin this wonderful walk of life with you and in you. So please, touch every heart today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses of Scripture, verse 28 and 29, you see words that speak in the 28th verse, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. There is not going to be one person that has ever lived and died that is not going to come out of the grave. Those unto, as the 29th verse says, unto the resurrection of life, or unto the resurrection of damnation. But both will be brought out of the grave, and once again their soul and their body will be reunited, and the lost will face a judgment time. Now, we looked at Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17, and that is a place in the Scripture where the Lord Jesus tells us of his second coming, where he is going to come and he is going to plant his feet upon this earth at that time. But as he is coming and as he speaks, mankind lost, the heathen of the world that have rejected the word of God and rejected coming by faith to Jesus Christ will desire that the rocks and the mountains will fall upon them. And this is at the end of the tribulation period. They will desire they want to die. They just want to get out of God's presence, and they can't. They cannot get out of his presence. And so it's a physical judgment that's coming at that time. But there will also be a physical, a literal physical and spiritual judgment, and that will be held at the great white throne. We looked at that too last week, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. And we spoke of some definite things in those verses of Scriptures as we've looked at those. But we know that the person, the individual that is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be judged according to their works. will be judged according to their works. What they have done in the flesh, they will be judged according to that. They, because of they have rejected their only means of salvation, they have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about this morning in the Sunday school class I heard a preacher this morning speak that our Lord and Savior is the one that holds the key to life. It's been a while since I've heard that said. Holds the key. And the example that I had given was the very church building here. And I have a key. Maybe you have a key, maybe you don't have a key. But if you don't have a key, and you come to this building, and you get a hold of that door, and you open the door, you can't open it. If I have not come through and taken my key and unlocked it so you can come in. No matter what you do, you can't come in. The door is locked. You have to find someone with a key. You have to go down the street or over to the shop. You have to come somewhere to find a key so that you can come in. Well, life, true life, life that's eternal, you have to know the one that has the key that can open it up for you. And if you don't know him as your personal Savior, you are not coming in. You have not had life, you have not enjoyed life, and you will not have eternal life unless you personally know the one that holds the key. Those that their names are not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, are not written down, are ones that do not know the one that holds the key. It's just that simple. They have come up with some other philosophy, and we're going to talk about that today when we talk about the gold, silver, and precious stones, or the wood, hay, and stubble. Because there is only one foundation, 1 Corinthians tells us, and we need to see that we are building on that foundation. Well, we receive and know and have the ability to build on that foundation only when we know Jesus Christ as our Savior personally, know the one that holds the key. The rest will face what they call a second death. The rest will be cast into the lake of fire. The books will be opened, and the book will be opened. The books are all the volumes of your works as a lost person. But the book is the Lamb's Book of Life. And no matter what works, no matter how you serve, no matter how many millions of dollars you may have given to some charity, no matter how much work that you have done, if you have neglected coming by faith to Jesus Christ, you will not be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will face the second death. You will be cast into the lake of fire. That's what we looked at in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. Once again, here in John, because in just a couple of seconds we're going to move back to 1 Corinthians, I want to read once again John chapter 5. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Those two judgments are not at the same time. They are two complete different events, two complete different times. Back now with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading with the ninth verse and read down through 15 as we did last week, and we just kind of got a good start in this, and we will continue this study today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We have looked at the resurrection of the dead, those that are lost. Now we're going to look at the resurrection of the living and what is to come. There's a time coming that we are going to face our God and be responsible for what we have done since we've been saved. That's what this is all about. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer a loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. As we look now at this section of Scripture from verse 9 to verse 15, we can understand clearly that there is one foundation. According to the 11th verse, this foundation is laid. And we know that because the Lord Jesus Christ has finished all the work upon Calvary, and he has ascended back to his Father. He's the right hand of the Father right now. All that work, all the foundation work is done. So now we need to build. The foundation work is completed. There are builders, many builders. All believers in Jesus Christ should be builders upon this foundation. And each one of us have special tools and special abilities to build. God equips us. He never equips us without, he never calls us to do something without equipping us with the necessary tools. With the necessary tools. We got to visiting about this a little bit in Sunday school too this morning. The Lord's called me here to pastor this church. And many years ago, started having trouble with my voice. And the doctor said, never sing and stop. You can't speak over 15 minutes at a time. And if you speak up to 30 minutes nonstop, do not speak the rest of the day. If you do, you will lose your voice, and we believe that surgery probably cannot repair it. That was the choices. 15 years ago, we came home, we sing, we preach, and we teach. And if today is the last time that I have my voice, we quickly figured it up. About 3,000 times God has allowed me to teach. 3,000 times since that time. The beautiful hymns that he's allowed me to sing. You see, God doesn't call you to do something unless he equips you with what you need to carry it out. The world says no. The doctor said no. Sometimes we need to listen to our God. We always need to listen to our God in what he tells us to do and proceed with it. We are all builders, every one of us. Every one of us are equipped with special gifts and special abilities to carry out the building, the part of the building that God wants us to work on. Every one of us. This building is to do with you and me and the abilities that we have, God-given abilities, his grace that he has shown towards us. But the ground upon this building, this church, this New Testament church that we're building, is the ground that God has placed. He has chosen it. He has appointed the one that is the foundation, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Our Lord Jesus was virgin-born. He was God-man. He lived a perfect life. He was despised and rejected of men. He was crucified, buried, and rose again. And he ascended unto his Father. We have our God, our Savior, our foundation. We have one God, one Savior, one foundation. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon this rock. We look now at this 12th verse as we begin to build. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, You can only begin to build upon this foundation if you're born again, blood bought. You cannot build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ without knowing Him. You must know Him. And so if you know folks that are not saved, but they're hard workers in church, it says, well, surely God will accept those gifts and those works that they have done. No, He will not. They are written in the books. Their name will not be written in the Lamb's Book of Life if they did not come by faith to Jesus Christ. So we begin to build. And we find that God divides in His Word what products that can be used for this building. We begin with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. There were six things listed. There are two different divisions or classes, if you would like to divide it that way. One is able to endure fire, and another is unable to endure fire. One will stand the fire and be better for it, and one will be consumed. The gold, the silver, and the precious stones are things of great value. They are things that are costly. They are things that will endure fire, and through that test and by that test will be found to be better. Wood, hay, and stubble, on the other hand, are things of lesser value or no value because the test here is by fire. The test here is by fire. We have to have something that will endure the fire. Wood, hay, and stubble are quickly consumed. They're found to be of no value. So, we have these six different things: gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Three of them are able to stand the test, and three of them will not. To build upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know how to build? How do we acquire gold and silver and precious stones? Or how do we come about acquiring wood, hay, and stubble? There's only one way that we're going to know how to build this building, and that is if we will study the manual. When you build a house, when you build any kind of a structure of any size, you have a plan. You have a set of plans that are before you. If you are building something that's a public place, you not only need a set of plans, but you also need a state-certified architect's seal upon that. Because they don't just trust the carpenter to know what he's doing. It has to have the seal, the approval of someone that has looked at the building products that are being used, and that those building products will be right and correct and will stand for years and be safe. And so when they take this set of plans and they look through them and they check the structure, they check the size of the material, they check the kind of material, and then if everything satisfies them, then they will put their seal of approval upon that set of plans. Now, the next part of the architect's responsibility is to see that as that building is being built, that building is put together and the material used that they said they were going to use. And so as we build this building, we have the proper materials available. We have the plans
we have the architect's seal. But now we're about to build. We're about to build. Now, if we want the approval of the architect when our building is finished, we have to do it according to the plans. If we do it any other way, it's going to be of no value. The architect at the end will not put his final approval on it. It can't be used unless that architect signs off at the end. It starts with the seal and it ends with the completed work. It ends with the completed work. Now, you folks have lived long enough and I've lived long enough that some contractors you can trust. Some will put everything into that building exactly the way that architect saw the plans, and they will do it as best to their ability, and it will be a good, solid building. And then we have others that will try to make a little extra income on the project, and so they'll use something inferior, something they can hide when the architect isn't looking. Sometimes they get by with it, sometimes they don't. Sometimes two-thirds of the way through the project, it is caught, and the project stopped right there until those faulty, not up to the standards, products are taken out and the proper product is put in. Now, with our building, with this building that we're building upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the plans. The architect, God has sealed this. It's sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so we have the opportunity to know how to build the building. And in this book, living book, will tell us how to have gold, silver, and precious stones. It'll tell us how to minimize the wood, hay, and stubble that we have in our lives. We need to know this book. Not only know it, but we need to follow it. The doctrines that are built, the doctrines upon Jesus Christ that's in this book are pure and right. It will be a building of character. It'll be a building that lasts forever if we use gold, silver, and precious stones. It's hard to imagine that we're all building on the same building, upon the same foundation, and yet every one of us, if there's something that I do incorrectly, I receive the wood, hay, and stubble. If I do something incorrectly and lead you to do something incorrectly, to where you're maybe teaching you falsely the Word of God, and it brings to you then wood, hay, and stubble instead of precious stones and gold and silver. So you see, I can harm your building. You can harm mine. We all have the manual. We all have the set of plans. If you're born again, you know the architect. You know his word is perfect. We need to be careful that we follow the doctrines of this book and not the philosophy of men. We need to see that the doctrines of this book brings us to be conformed to the image of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Because that's what brings us gold, silver, and precious stones. We as teachers and preachers of the Word of God must rightly divide it. We must understand the Word of God. The gold, the silver, and the precious stones have been divided to kind of help us maybe understand. And the gold stands, of course, for the deity of God. He's the Godhead. The silver represents the redemptive power of the blood of Jesus Christ. The precious stones tells of His glory, the sweet glory of Jesus Christ. Jesus is this rock that we need to build upon. So for us to look to the Word of God and to rightly divide it, to study it, to search it out, to know it, that we can build this building that we need to build. Now the wood, hay, and stubble is something that fire does consume, and since we find in the Word of God that the fire is the dividing factor here. Can what we do sustain the fire? Can it withstand the flames? Will there be anything left when it comes through the fire? Because the fire is the test. The fire is the test. Wood, hay, and stubble. We find those to be imitations of the truth. We find that when men develop programs, and when they establish different means to call themselves Christians. And we have many, many churches today that have developed and built their whole ministry up on wood, hay, and stubble. It's an imitation of the truth. They have left the Word of God in the result for quantity instead of quality. They don't care if folks get saved. They just care that folks come and fill the offering plates. Wood, hay, and stubble are imitations of the truth. Now, hold your hand here in 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at two different areas of Scripture in Timothy concerning what Paul warns Timothy to watch for. And we need to be watching for the same. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to jump through the verses fairly rapidly here in closing. But I want you to see what Paul tells Timothy to watch for. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Down to verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' tales, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And in verse 16 of this chapter, take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Building, building. Gold, silver, precious stones, building. On to chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 through 5. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, the one that does not contend to these wholesome words. He is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and striving of words, whereof cometh envy and strife and railings, and evil surmisings, perverse disputes, disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. That sixth verse is a sweet verse, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And then we'll finish this sixth chapter with the 17th through the 20th verse. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, lay up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. We're going to understand that Paul had to warn Timothy that there is an awful lot of wood, hay, and stubble. And the world loves wood, hay, and stubble. The world builds everything that they have with wood, hay, and stubble. It is not built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. But even a believer can take the philosophies of the world and begin, try to build a building upon this precious foundation of the blood of Jesus. Why would we want to build something contrary to the architect's plans? But the world does, and we do. Precious stones, silver, gold, stubbles, hay, wood. How does it come out of the fire? We know back to the 13th verse of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. I'm just going to read a little bit of this, and then we'll begin here next week. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. When we started out, we looked at the one thing that was going to be the divider here, and that is the fire. God comes to judge, and he uses fire to do it. And he will take our works, what we do, and he will rightly divide it. Wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. Now, this is not talking about the salvation of a believer. It is not talking about that if you do enough of the gold, silver, and precious stones that you will be saved. Because if you remember, we read the end of this verse 15, saved yet so as by fire. You're going to be saved. Salvation isn't in the works here. Salvation's been taken care of. If you didn't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're not building upon this foundation, so there's nothing here. All of your works go into that books. But our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life if you know Jesus. We know the one that holds the key. And we've come to know him personally. And he has let us in. And now he has given us a manual to build. To build something to his honor and glory. We need to build something to his honor and glory. Every one of us are responsible as believers to be building. Every day to be building and building and building. There's not a year of retirement. And this building can be built with gold, silver, and precious stones. By sweeping the floor, shoveling the snow, taking the trash out. Even if you're not able to come anymore. Physically, you can't come. Your rewards, the gold and silver and precious stones, can be mounting up because you have never stopped praying. You've never stopped praying for the lost souls. You've never stopped praying for the saints as they're out about doing the work. You've never stopped praying for the radio program or for the website. You've never stopped praying that when I stand in this pulpit that you have spent time in prayer, that I will rightly divide the word. You see, everything that we place as value is appearance. What does it appear to be? That's what we see. But you see, God isn't that way. God doesn't work on appearance. He works on truth. And he knows exactly where the heart is when you do what you do. And that's where it all depends upon. Where's our heart? Do we want to serve and praise and honor our God? We'll begin with this 13th verse. Every man's work shall be made manifest. It means to be revealed, to be shown. Every minute detail will be shown. He has it all. He has a perfect record. We'll begin there as we look at this judgment. This is judgment of service that we have as a believer. What a wonderful opportunity our God has given us. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you for your precious word. The lost is being judged by their works. Be cast into the lake of fire. We as believers will also be judged by our works, tested by fire. And we do something in your name for you to bring honor and glory unto you, dear Father, not unto me, not unto to someone else, but unto you. We will be setting aside gold, silver, and precious stones. Maybe it's a drink of water that we bring to someone that's in need. You know the heart and why we do things. And so, dear Father, it's important that when we're going through the trial or the struggle of the day, that we never miss an opportunity to do it in your name. Even that struggle, even that trial, we do it in your name. We do it to honor you. And Father, I know that lifts the burden. It lifts the load from us when we will do it to praise and honor your name. It can mean the smallest thing that man would never think to be something of honor to you, dear Lord. But you know our hearts, and you know why we're doing it. Don't let us miss a time to praise and honor your name, dear Lord. Touch the hearts today. Those that are lost, please bring them. Those that are saved, help us to know that we need to be busy and we need to be in a time and in a constant prayer and praise and honor to your name in all that we do. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.